It's 5 o'clock Wednesday. Welcome to Joyful Echo with Jean and Kathleen on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, where we gather together as sisters in friendship to echo God's love. Now here are your hosts, Jean and Kathleen.
Hello, ladies. This is Kathleen. It's so good to be with you.
It is. This is Jean, and it's a crazy, crazy day.
It is. Did you ever have one of those days, ladies, where you just thought, oh, my goodness.
Yes, we are in the studio, the three musketeers, Chris, Kathleen, and I, and the technical difficulties have been amazing.
Yes, well, apparently, you know, whatever we're about to say, that's what the Lord really wanted said.
Yeah, this is our take three. We've never had a take three, girls, and we're just laughing through the whole thing, because, of course, it's Passion Week, and we were talking about when we got cut. About how the Lord, we can't believe, first of all, that Lent is coming to a close and that we remembered our show on Lent. And I was saying to Kathleen, the video that I watched from the priest's homily on the Lord is the one who creates our Lent for us. Like, we can try, but he will have something else that we have not noticed or seen.
Right, because we might have the things that we think, okay, I'm going to do this because of this reason. I'm going to do this because of this other reason. And then he changes it up because he knows what's really in our hearts.
That's right. So this is our third take, and this has never happened in the history of Joyful Echo.
Nope.
So I don't think he liked what he said, what we were saying on take one and take two.
I don't know.
I don't know.
He wanted some space in there.
He wanted some space. We love the Lord, all for his glory. And so we just want to thank you girls also for listening to us. And I want to reach out and call out to this beautiful woman, Margaret. I was at a dinner this past weekend, and one of her friends said to me, Jean, she faithfully listens to you and Kathleen every week.
Aww.
So Margaret.
Hi, Margaret.
We want to thank you because that warmed my heart. And I haven't seen you in a very long time, but I know you are a faith-filled, very beautiful woman that has amazing prayer life. So keep praying for us, Margaret, if you would. And thank you for listening to us.
Yes, yes. And we've had our intentional echoes going on on Instagram. For those of you who are watching the Instagram account for Joyful Echo each day, having our little piece of, like, here's what my intention today will be.
And rotating. I wanted to read one that was very popular to you all today, because I'm just going to, today we're just going to talk about highlights of Lent and what are we doing this week, getting ready for this, the Triduum. How do you say
Triduum?
Triduum. I love the way she says that. So much better than me. Triduum. No. So much grace, girls. Oh my gosh. So much grace coming up. We just want to absorb. We want to receive every bit of it that we can. But this little gold nugget, which was from that word from a previous Lent, is from St. Faustina's beautiful diary, and it will give you hope, bring you hope. My Jesus, this is what Faustina is saying. My Jesus, it is truly easy to become holy. It just takes a little goodwill. And if he finds this minimum of goodwill in a soul, he quickly gives himself to her, and nothing can stop him. Neither our faults nor our fails. Absolutely nothing. Jesus hurries to help that soul. And if the soul is faithful to this grace from God, she can, in a short time, reach the highest level of holiness that a created being can attain here below. God is very generous and does not refuse his grace to anyone. He gives even more than we ask for. The shortest road to faithfulness is the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to read that. I know it was one of my printed joy intentional echoes, but that word was also read at our recent Mary's Women of Joy retreat, and it was so requested by so many women because I believe it just brings peace.
Yes, it does. And I think it was read today for someone out there who maybe at the end of Lent here is feeling like a failure.
Right.
Is feeling like I blew it.
Right.
I totally blew it this Lent. My life is a mess. Everything's turned upside down. And hearing those words, if that's you, hearing those words, I want you to know St. Faustina is the one who brings us the divine mercy. And we'll be talking about that more on the next episode, mm-hmm, next mm-hmm. week's episode. But that mercy, mm-hmm. you're not ruining his plan for the passion through your imperfections, your failings, your faults, as St. Faustina says. Those failings and faults, that's the reason. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. the reason for the passion.
That's right. And when you're towards the end of the night, what I'm trying to do is use these little beautiful affirmations that the Lord gives us from our saints in my readings or in scripture to apply those words that he has shown me during the day to my examine at night. Just a brief examine before I lay my head on the pillow. Nothing complicated. But one of the questions you can ask yourself is, did I have a little goodwill today? Did mm-hmm. I have a little goodwill? Did I possess that in my being, this little goodwill? And if the answer is yes, you say, thank you, Lord, that that's all he needed to come to my soul very quickly, that he stoops down to my soul mm-hmm. to help me and fill me with grace, that he hurries. It's not even a stooping. It's a hurry. He's just looking for that goodwill. So ask yourself that question right now. Have I shown a little goodwill this Lent in trying to draw closer to our Lord? Mm-hmm. And if your answer is yes, then you can rest assured, because Faustina is a saint and they have her. Hopefully she'll become a doctor of the church. They're moving that cause forward. Mm. But Jesus hurries to help your soul. And the key is being faithful to that grace, which I want to speak to you about, Kathleen. It's really struck me this Lent, for me personally, mm-hmm. of Augustine and some former Thomas Aquinas talking about our cooperation with grace. Mm-hmm. If we're faithful to the grace, like the Lord doesn't do it by himself. He wants you to cooperate with him.
Right. He could do it by himself. Sure. But he could. He absolutely. Chooses yes. by his divine will. To cooperate with us.
So mm-hmm. my prayer kind of this Lent is, Lord, show me how I can cooperate with your grace more deeply, mm-hmm. more intentionally. Mm-hmm. And my mm-hmm. word yesterday was more sincerely.
Mm.
More sincerely.
I remember you had mentioned, Jean, at the beginning of Lent that you were paying special attention to those things that you were already doing.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Getting kind of to the basics, mm-hmm. so to speak. Mm-hmm. But with that intentionality, refining those things, making mm-hmm. sure that there wasn't a slack, mm-mm. you know, motivation behind any of it, really tightening those things up.
And what I've learned from that, and I'll share with you, Kathleen, it's really come into focus these past 5 weeks of Lent, just lately showing me the good fruit. For example, the word I thirst, I was meditating on this week. I thirst. And I was using a book that is also being recommended in our Catholic News and Herald by Elizabeth Kelly, A Place Called Golgotha. And Liz Kelly came and gave us a retreat. And no, she's not married to Matthew Kelly. People, for some reason, made that association.
The same last name. They assume that no. there's some, yes.
But in her book, I'm reading it backwards to forwards, which is a very different way of reading a book. And the Lord inspired me to start at the end, his last words, with, into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit, and moving forward to forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they do. But I've rested today on his fifth word, his fifth statement mm-hmm. on I thirst. And this is what has happened. Liz writes in her book on page 92, she speaks about several incidences of women suffering greatly. And these women come up to Liz and they share their story. And the story just sounds completely like hopeless.
Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, but she brings to the attention, she says this, once more, there it was, so faint you would miss it if you didn't pay attention.
Mm.
I thirst. I underlined that today in front of our Lord in adoration, because that's what he's showing to me. Pay attention, Jean. Mm-hmm. Don't look at the obvious. Pay attention. And it came to me yesterday with a beautiful woman, Danae. She's in my Mary's Women of Joy. She sits at my small group, and she works at a homeless home, a homeless shelter down in Charlotte. And I don't remember the name of it, but it's she's there. That's her job. Mm-hmm. And she has the homeless people come in for a meal and sits down and she speaks with them. And so I was able to give her some food for that, for the for this beautiful little place. And we were talking at the end of my driveway yesterday, and she had invited me to come to another place in Huntersville where young children come. And they are very poor. They have no food. And it's we go to them in this trailer park where they live, and you have activities and you play with them.
Jean, I think that's where I tutor.
Oh.
I think it is.
No way.
Yeah. I tutor there once a week. These two little boys, they are sweet as pie.
Oh,
first
you're kidding
grade.
Me. Mm-hmm. So there's meals served on a Monday, and mm-hmm. she's inviting me, or Tuesdays, and she's like, come with me, she said. But this is what she said. Don't look at the obvious of what is there. She says you have to look beyond.
You have to pay attention.
You have to pay attention. Mm. And she says you will see God there in a very powerful way. And that has been, for me, my Lent. The Lord's like, don't look at the obvious of what's happening in the Passion. Mm. When I say I thirst from the cross, look deeply.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Look deeply. Don't look. Don't let our eyes just mechanically bring in the vision and then go to our reasoning. And our reasoning, we're woundedness and can go into fear and make judgments based on.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
if we go to this place where these beautiful children are, mm-hmm. we're going to see some severe poverty.
Right, right.
And that can be scary mm-hmm. sometimes. Mm-hmm. But she invited me. Look beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Look beyond. You will see God's care. This is what Jesus is saying to me from the cross today. I thirst. Look beyond the physical thirst. Look beyond the brutality of what I've gone through. And bring me what I thirst for, Jean, is what you do not even realize that you're fearing in a split second.
Mm.
And he took me to a place in a conversation that I had with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
The friend said nothing, but what she implied in my wounded area would make me believe she was being judgmental. The Lord said, I want that.
Mm.
I want that quick thought that came to you, judgment, that you were thinking this friend was judgmental, when absolutely that was a
not
wound.
Not the intention.
Not the intention.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thirst for. But it's not obvious.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wait. You have to be patient. You have to look more deeply. And that's what the Lord has done with me this Lent, taking me to places that may be uncomfortable to say, look what's really here. No, 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 no. Look again.
Mm-hmm.
Look again. And here you're telling me, I know you're tutoring.
Right.
I have no idea where. You see, and now have been invited to go to this beautiful place, which I want to, because I miss Mrs. Strong.
Yes.
You know, she was my go and sit on the couch, really get a taste of beautiful reality. And she's been with the Lord now for 2 years. And that's been my prayer. And so I've met this beautiful woman, Danae, through Mary's Women of Joy. And she's inviting me to, again, commune with the poorest of the poor, because there's more there than just what they are lacking, because
right.
it's going to shine on what I'm lacking.
That's it. That's it.
And there's more there. So grateful for the meditating on I thirst and the pleasant surprises that you're tutoring your sweet children. Yeah, because we've not really talked about that, and we don't need to, but here it is, good fruit. So, yeah, I'm even thinking about going down tonight. I've been invited by her to enjoy the children's activities, but I heard the Lord speak to me through her at the end of my driveway to look beyond, and then he brings me today to the I Thirst meditation to really look beyond, and as I was reading Liz's book, what struck me was that it wasn't enough for Jesus to speak to us, to teach us, to give us his wisdom, and to share his divine mind. He desired a much more significant intimacy. He would stand with us in our suffering, entering into it willingly. She said, this is a great testimony to the deepest desire of God's heart. He wants to stand with his creation and to share deeply the fullness of their experience in life, even their suffering,
And Jean, we're going to come back after a break and dive a little deeper into that. Yes, please come back for the rest of our Joyful Echo.
Thank you, Lord.
On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event, with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
Hello, ladies. This is Kathleen. Welcome back to a new episode of Joyful Echo. Jean, you were just sharing with us before the break from Liz Kelly's book, A Place Called Golgotha, about how deeply, how passionately Jesus wants to walk with us through our sufferings. And obviously, during Passion Tide and Passion Week, our focus is on the Lord's suffering, and yes, it should be, but we don't want to lose sight of how deeply he thirsts
absolutely
for that intimacy with us and to share our own sufferings.
Yeah, and I was speaking to you how he's saying, look again, look more deeply. And the word I thirst that I meditated on in adoration today, he was showing in my own heart, in my own thought processes, how quickly there was a wound or a rejection, a lie, and he wants that. That's what he means. He died for us to make a difference, to change an outcome in our thinking, in our belief system, in the way we're hurt. He wants to heal
in our eternity.
Wounds. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So I was reading to you from Liz's book, and I'm just going to recap a little bit, because we really want to dive more deeply into this. And I had said, and I'll just begin again with reading, it wasn't enough for Jesus to speak to us, to teach us, to give us his wisdom, and to share his divine mind. He desired a much more significant intimacy. He would stand with us in our suffering, entering into it willingly. This is a great testimony to the deepest desires of God's heart. He wants to stand with his creation to share deeply the fullness of their experiences in life, even their suffering. That he honors us in this way should leave us speechless.
Mm.
And then she goes on to say, but there's more. I thirst, Jesus says from the cross, because Jesus can stand with you in your suffering. You can stand and must stand in the ways that you are able with others. With others. And that is so important because he died for us and he gave us that grace to be able to stand with others in their suffering. And we must do this. We must do this. And it's even highlighted in the book again, because Jesus can stand with you in your suffering. You can stand. Let me just say that again. You can stand. It is not despairing. It will not swallow you up. It is a promise. And you must stand. And in these ways that you are able with others to stand with others. And I think that's true. I think when we stand with the Lord and we are cooperative, we're cooperating with that grace that he merited for us on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
That cooperation again. And we see our hopelessness turn to hope. We see our despair turn into hope. And hope is an act of running to Jesus on the cross. Hope is an act of running to the sacraments that he gave us through the church, through mm-hmm. scripture, that we can then stand with others and others have hope.
Yes. And how often is it that our response, instead of offering those wounds mm-hmm. to him, offering our suffering to him, how often we hide?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Just like Adam and Eve in the mm-hmm. garden, we take on the weight of the shame
mm-hmm.
of mm-hmm. our sinfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we will be quick even to say, this suffering is a result of this action of mine mm-hmm. or this fault of mine.
Mm-hmm.
In a weird way, we're kind of saying, I deserve mm-hmm. to suffer the way I'm suffering right now because of this thing or these things that I've done. And because of that, I'm just holding on to it
right.
all on my own. I'm not, and it sounds crazy to say sharing it with the Lord, because what we want to bring to the Lord are lovely, beautiful, wonderful things, our gifts, mm-hmm. the things that would please him. You think about, you know, not that many months ago, we were in Epiphany and talking about the gifts
mm-hmm,
that are brought mm-hmm. to the babe in the manger. Those are the things we want to be the little drummer boy. We don't want to be yeah. the one who's bringing him pain and sorrow and sadness, but
he wants it.
He wants it.
And she said so beautifully, she says, this is one of the great graces that flow from this word of Christ on the cross. I thirst. He aligns himself to humanity in a profound way. To all of us who suffer, whose healing does not come though we pray for it, whose bodily demands and emotional ailments cause us suffering and difficulty, I thirst. She says this beautifully. Here Jesus tells us in plain, humane terms, my daughter, my son, I know your pain. I am with you in your pain. I thirst too. Give me your thirst, that I may quench it with eternal life-giving waters. And then she quotes this beautiful priest. There's a purpose for our suffering. She said, the saint must share Christ's suffering. It is the nature of love. But also we are family. We are each responsible for all. Your suffering is meant to be redemptive, but not for yourself merely, but for the world. The pain of Christ is redemptive for all humanity, to bring to all humanity the gifts of understanding and love and sorrow. And you can share by your own pain, and if you love Christ enough, you will be impelled to share in that universality. So where do we thirst? Where in mind, in body, in spirit? Offering this up to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And can you trust him with it? I thought that question was really good in my meditation. Can I trust the Lord with my suffering?
Can you? Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you? Right. Will you?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've had the last couple weeks at Mass, the different gospel readings about our Lord and Lazarus. Mm-hmm. So the time when the Lord arrives and Lazarus has already died and is already in the tomb, and then he raises him. And then afterwards, too, just recently, we had the gospel reading where people are now at the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus coming after the Lord. But I was thinking about, as you were reading, I was thinking about this connection to Lazarus and how we can bring about our own binding and kind of death through holding on to those sufferings that we have and not sharing them with the Lord for the purpose of his healing.
Right.
Healing us of them. Mm-hmm. Raising us. Mm-hmm. After experiencing those things, and when Lazarus was called out of the tomb, he was still bound. He was raised, but still bound, which I have often thought of as a very profound image for the Christian life at times for myself. Am I redeemed by the Lord? Yes. And at the same time, are there areas where I am still bound?
And that's what he thirsts for. That's what he thirsts for. Mm-hmm. That's what he's thirsting for, ladies. So on Good Friday, when we're meditating more deeply on the seven last words of Christ, I thirst. Lord, what am I holding on to that I don't even know that I am still bound, that you want today? Mm-hmm. You want that today. That's what he comes for. That's what he wants. Because when we become unbound by him, we are free.
Right.
We are free and we stand with confidence with the Lord. We're willing to do anything for him.
Mm-hmm.
And anything
for
the kingdom.
And we bring glory to God the Father.
Absolutely.
I mean, Jesus does, but through our cooperation with him then.
And ladies, speaking of Lazarus, the word delay, the Lord delayed. He knew that Lazarus was sick. He knew he was dying. You know, he delayed for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. So if you are in that moment of delay, that could be what you give to the Lord. Lord, you are delaying. I am suffering.
There's a reason.
There's a reason. God's glory. He gives the reason for God's glory. Something is coming. Give it to the Lord.
Yes.
Give it to the Lord. The Lord is fully aware of your situation. He has noticed you and he knows
Remember last week we talked about this. He knows. He is all knowing.
He's all knowing.
He's all knowing. This is not a surprise to him.
Right. Right.
This is not a surprise to him.
All knowing, all good. Fully aware.
Mm-hmm. And all powerful.
All powerful. And he was fully knowing. He was delaying the Lazarus sickness. And because for God, something greater was coming. Mm-hmm. Something greater, God's glory.
All right, Jean, we need to take this into prayer.
Yes.
Because there are people who need those words. We need to lift them up to the Lord. We only have a short time. So in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And I am reading Psalm 63. Verses 1 through 4, ladies, meditate on this word. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name.
Oh, Father, we ask for the things that are deep in our hearts, the things that we've buried deeply in our hearts, those things for which you are longing, those things which are contributors to your suffering. Give us the courage. Give us the courage, Lord, to dig those up during Holy Week, to bring those before you, to trust that you ask for them because of your goodness. You ask for them because you have the power to heal them. You ask for them because you know how it's all going to glorify the Father. Give us the courage to offer these to you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this time of prayer and being able to be together with our beautiful listeners as we walk into, open our eyes that we may see something greater here, Lord, as we enter more deeply into Holy Week and into your passion. What do you want us to see? What is bound in our life? Help us to have courage to walk with you, to console you, to be with you. Even though our world looks like it's 2,000 years later, we are with you. Outside of time, Lord, help us to see.
And we make this prayer as always in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Jean. We have, we just have a minute left, but ladies, we're entering into Holy Week. Carolina Catholic Media is going to be turning over tomorrow, I believe, to 24-hour coverage through EWTN. So that's what you'll be hearing. But Jean and I will be back with you next week in Easter week. There is an Easter Sunday, but ladies, the season of Easter, 50 days.
Yeah, it's
50
great.
Days. And even Easter Sunday has a whole octave, 8 days of celebrating glory of the Lord.
And don't forget, too, this Friday, the Novena to the Divine Mercy begins on Friday with
on
Faustina,
Friday.
With some beautiful prayers that our Lord has spoke to her that he would like for us to say starting on Good Friday.
We'll try and link that up on our Joyful Echo Facebook.
Yes.
Wonderful. All right, we'll see you next week for a new episode of Joyful Echo, and it will be the Easter season.
Yay. Good. Praise God.